Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 200 years ago, last Thursday, a man was born who was to change the way we think about the world. The man was, of course, Charles Darwin, and there has been a flood of television programs, books, newspaper articles about him recently, as you might expect. In all of these, sooner or later, someone claims that Charles Darwin put a bomb under the Bible's teaching about God and creation, that Darwin's theory of evolution has disproved the Bible and written God out of the story. This is, of course, complete nonsense. When The Origin of Species was published, both believers and non-believers were found on the two sides of the argument. The quarrel with the church was actually provoked by some of Darwin's anti-Christian colleagues who used his work for their own ends. Evolution did not disprove their faith. They didn't have one to start with. When we look at our three Bible readings this morning, we can see that they all talk about the beginning of the universe. They all portray God as the creator. In the book of Proverbs, our first reading, it talks about the first of God's acts. All things have been created through him, says St. Paul in Colossians. And all things come into being through him, in those wonderful words of the prologue to St. John's Gospel. But they are all silent as to how this came about. Certainly they see it as a process, as a series of acts by God. Did these actions happen over just 7 days? Or was it a long evolutionary process lasting millions of years? These passages simply don't tell us. But what about the book of Genesis, chapter 1? That has 7 days, sure enough. But if you look closely, you will see that that first creation story, and there are actually two creation stories in Genesis, and they don't match up. But anyway, that first creation story concludes with the words, "So God blessed the seventh day, because on it God rested from all his work which he had done in creation." In other words, the conclusion we are meant to draw from this story is not so much a scientific account of how the world was created, but instead some teaching about how to order our lives with a regular rhythm of work and rest. This is the real application from that first chapter of Genesis, and it's a lesson which is being ignored today, certainly in Britain and the United States, less so in Switzerland. And the disappearance of a proper day of rest is having all sorts of negative effects on the health of society. Only 2 weeks ago, the Church of England Children's Society produced a report that pinpointed the damage done to children when their parents' work-life balance is uneven, when there is no proper balance between life and work and family life. But to get back to Darwin, Some Christians, of course, were bitterly opposed and still are. 7 days means 7 days, they say, and after that no changes, because the Bible is the Word of God, and we must take the plain and literal meaning of every word. But no, the Bible is not the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And if you don't believe me, try substituting the Bible for the Word in those first verses of John's Gospel that we heard today. In the beginning was the Bible, and the Bible was with God, and the Bible was God. No, I don't think so. That would be idolatry. Try, though, putting Christ instead of Word. In the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God. That is, straight down the line, Orthodox Trinitarian theology. The book of Proverbs, too, is also groping after that same truth. It portrays wisdom as almost a person, the first stirrings of a belief which would evolve into identifying Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, with the Word of God. It's there already in the book of Proverbs. A 7-day finished creation reduces God to a divine watchmaker who puts the mechanism together. But once he has wound it up, it ticks away and there is nothing left for him to do. Whereas the magnificent sweep of an evolutionary process being sustained and maintained over millions of years is a picture much more worthy of the God and Father of us all. To believe that God created primitive forms capable of self-development into all forms fills me with awe, wrote the priest and poet Charles Kingsley. The theory of evolution, then, does not challenge our biblical faith. Where Christians have problems with it, though, is the unscientific uses to which it has been put. Ideas like natural selection and the survival of the fittest have mutated into racism, designer babies, unrestricted competition, and so on. And you end up with something like that map we saw at the beginning of our service. And that brings us back to our scripture readings for today. They are about creation. And yes, many people say they are spiritually uplifted by God's creation. Poets have praised God in many languages for the wonders of his handiwork. Morning sunrise, starlit sky, autumn leaves, leaping salmon. But that is only part of the picture. God is not only the creator, he is the redeemer. In the second person of the Holy Trinity, that is in wisdom, in the eternal word, in Christ, God was pleased to reconcile all things to himself, as St. Paul realized and wrote it down in Colossians. Here we see God who is not content simply with setting the whole process in motion, but God who is at the center of his creation, involved in it. For him, something as vast as the extinction of the dinosaurs, down to the present financial crisis, which seems big to us, but in the history of the universe, it will hardly register. All these things are the building blocks of something new, of a new creation, as God works his purposes out, as year succeeds unto year, taking what is going on, bringing out new life and hope, and continuing to create. God's purpose is to call into being things which do not exist, and to bring forth life from death. Millions of years ago, 2,000 years ago in the life of Jesus Christ, today in our life, his purposes are being worked out. God engages in an ongoing relationship to redeem creation. And with a God like that, no one can lock him in a book or take him out of science. And now to that same God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed, as is most justly due, all honor, might, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever.